T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Dale is off today. Greg Dickerson is in the first hour. Greg said this is the last year for Tom Brady.
I think this is the last year.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. Right. That's what I said.
Well, no, but
that was the highlight of the first hour.
The wait. Not a lot of highlights in the first hour, apparently.
Well, no, that's a pretty big deal.
I didn't say
Greg Dickerson says Tom Brady told him that he's done after this year.
I don't want another Mike Florio situation.
You think
okay?
He's out? You think he's out? And I think it's going to be 2 years. I think we are definitely approaching the end for both. But I think that's. I also think it's an obvious statement. Everybody's been trying to predict the end, but guess what?
It's going to be 41. Your statement or my statement?
No, Brady and Belichick, they're not going to coach and play forever.
Can I make a caveat to my statement?
Yeah, that'd be great.
If Belichick decides to go,
he plays longer.
Then I think he plays.
Oh, wow.
He plays
Greg,
another year. Yes.
The plot thickens. Yeah. Because you don't think, but he said he loved him, though. Did you not hear him say that?
No, I did hear that. Okay. I heard him say, and I've heard him say that before.
Yeah, all right.
Do I necessarily believe him? I think he loves him, and he also tolerates him, and he also, you know, sometimes.
I gotcha.
You ever heard of a love-hate relationship?
I have
you ever
heard of that before? I have heard of that. I've been in part of many of those.
Okay. Yes, I think myself, they have that.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested. I wonder if anybody else got out of the interview yesterday from Oprah Winfrey that Brady is gone after next year.
I mean, sooner, maybe.
Forget about the sooner rather than
later. I got that sense after Tom versus Time that it was going to be pretty silly. Year two. I'm still leaning towards two. But then also after yesterday, I don't know, you may maybe feel the same.
He sounded like a guy who had 1 foot out the door.
So that is very much on the table for you. It's 617-779-7937. Another interview over the weekend with a big-time Boston athlete. Kyrie Irving was on the Bill Simmons podcast. He's on there for like an hour. I mean, he's got his movie Uncle Drew coming out in, a week or two? Comes out this month.
Oh,
and people are very excited about it. Yeah, there's been some advanced screenings. People seem to be pretty excited
about it.
This Friday it comes out. Rossi, are we getting an advanced screening? Or they already showed
I've worked on every angle. I talked to his agent, the Celtics. No one's given us
anything. Kyrie's doing interviews with everybody but us. I don't want to, you know.
Oh, you can't even get an interview. Let alone an advanced screening.
I've tried to even do like.
Hey, Greg, you don't need to rub it in, but that's
not
the case.
I'm not rubbing it in. I'm just asking the question.
It's a little sour grapes on my part, Sour Patch Kids, but we can't get this guy for the life of us. Meanwhile, every Tom, Dick, and Harry is interviewing Kyrie Irving. Maybe it's just 5 minutes at a time.
Oh, but really? Tom, Dick, and Harry? Really? Like who? I mean, Simmons is a pretty big deal.
Simmons is an hour, but I'm saying they had a whole setup where anybody could go over there for 5 minutes and interview him.
But that's not really a radio thing.
It could have been.
He jumped on with us for 5 of those minutes. That's like, why I tried to do this.
Didn't the guys at AAF got him?
Mike Shue got him.
Every beat writer has had like an exclusive with him. Now, they're asking him similar questions, but everybody's had a chance to talk to Kyrie Irving.
You can't just shove a phone in his face for 5 minutes.
A recorder. I don't even need a phone. We can tape it and do it later.
We have a mostly seized podcast, which is very popular. The show. It was during the show, so we wanted to have him call in for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Did Abby Chin get a one-on-one?
Sure.
I think she got
10
minutes.
I'm sure she did. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I'll have to find that online.
Well, good news for you, Greg. You don't have to go far
she thinks it's going to be a Academy Award winning movie.
Greg, what is the problem, man? What is the matter?
I told you what the problem was.
So you have a problem with her specifically?
No, it seems
like you do. You took a cheap shot there.
It was just a joke.
How could she win an Academy Award for an interview with Kyrie?
No. I'm sure she thinks the movie will win an Academy Award.
Now you're insulting her intelligence.
No, I am not insulting her.
It seems like to me, Greg.
It's just it's like sarcasm. It's just a little joke. You don't understand my sarcasm, do you?
There's a little bit of truth in every joke. Is there not?
What? You know what? Don Rickles also said, if I don't make fun of you, you know.
That's the time I stop caring
about you.
That's a good point. It's like a coach screaming at you.
Yes,
I wouldn't do that.
It's like what Brady said.
Yeah.
Brady said about his receivers. You know, if I yell at you, it means I care about you.
Right. Those are relationships. So they,
right.
After all.
I don't have a love-hate. It's only a love relationship with Abby.
Wouldn't that be true?
There's no love-hate.
How does she feel about that?
I really don't. I'm sure it's mostly hate. So I guess it is a love-hate relationship.
You each take
I love
side
her.
That.
She hates me.
That makes sense. So Kyrie Irving, everybody's trying to figure out. So with Tom Brady, it's how much longer is he going to play here or just in general? And with Kyrie Irving, it's how much longer is he going to play in Boston? Like, I think because he certainly hasn't given any indication that he definitely wants a long-term deal. He hasn't said he doesn't either. We just know it doesn't make sense financially for him to sign it this offseason. That's fine. We all get that. But the following year, is this a place that he could be? And one of the questions, and this is also pretty conversational, so like there might be a couple of questions in here as well. But Simmons basically asks him, you know, what's the most important thing to Kyrie Irving?
Important thing for you, looking back a year ago. What was the first thing you wanted?
Just kind of being in a place where I could see myself for a few years and kind of positioning myself with some other great players. You know, that's when the texting and the calling starts happening. Hey, man, like,
yeah,
you're trying to do this. And, you know, the shift in the league of our generation is like, for me personally, I'm going to speak on kind of my viewpoint of it. It's like, we all want to play together at one point, you know, whether that's now or later in our career, you know, we kind of want to have fun playing with it. You know, we all kind of spend time in LA or New York and we all see each other. So it's cool when you can have like other great players on the team and other great teammates. And then you go for a championship. You know, we just want to be happy. I want to be happy if anything.
So really? First
you don't
of all,
want to play with Jarvis Varnado? Really? Stunning.
Who are your best friends and when are you going to play with them? That's what it sounds like, right? He's like, well, we all hang out all the time. We all want to play together. Like all of you. Like, but who are you talking about? Like, who are his best friends in the league? It seems like everybody likes Irving, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, didn't you get that sense this year after every game, the best player on the other team would always go up and hug Kyrie, like at the All-Star weekend? Like, Kyrie is as popular as there is.
I don't know. They all hug each other.
That's when the texting and the calling starts happening. Hey, man, like.
Yeah.
Most of the star players all hug each other.
Rondo.
There are a few exceptions. There are a few exceptions.
The 08 Celtics.
they
didn't hug anybody.
Games.
They hugged each other. Right. And even then, they hated each other as well.
No. KG didn't. Kevin didn't hug anybody, but Ray would and Paul would.
Ray would. I was going to say, Ray and Rondo hated each other.
Right. They didn't hug each other. Else. They hugged other people.
Okay, that's true. But
I was a little buoyed. It picked me up a little bit. Some of the things he talked about in terms of staying in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, there've been prior interviews.
Well, and he said, like, I want to go to a place where I could play for a few years.
Yeah.
That's not two.
Right. So I felt better about what he said.
But then he also mentioned, we all hang out in New York and LA. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Because one of the
not
rumors.
New York again. It's New York.
Right. One of the rumors is the Knicks.
But now here's the other thing, though. He did make me a little nervous talking about his knee injury. A lot of times, yes, we always find out that a surgery or an injury is worse than what we were led to believe.
Right.
And it kind of seems that way.
What was it like sitting out the playoffs and then watching them make a run?
It sucked, man. It sucked.
Because you have to
sucked.
Be a supportive leader, veteran guy.
Yeah,
but at the same time, you want to be out there.
For sure. It like absolutely sucked. And, you know, I can't even sugarcoat it. It was tough. Not from like kind of watching the guys, but of what I was dealing with outside of that. Like, I was leaving the games at halftime because I had 8-hour shifts of antibiotics I had to take
for
my infection. I had a PICC line in my arm, you know, for 2 months. And I'm just like, every day is like, okay, you know, I can't necessarily lift. I can't run. I can't do anything. If I didn't have my kind of PICC line in for my infection, then I would have definitely gone after trying to be ready for at least the Eastern Conference Finals.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. But the infection was just, I got two surgeries in a matter of, I think it was a 3-week span. I got the screws taken out, then I had to take out everything completely. I got the wiring taken out first, excuse me, and then I got the screws taken out.
So you felt, you were playing, you felt just a constant agitation.
Yeah, I felt like my body was kind of rejecting the screws at a point.
So, I mean, he obviously was dealing with a lot.
Right.
Now, do you have concern that he's not going to be 100% when he gets back?
Yes.
How can you not, right?
Just because of that
and
because of his history in general, I do get concerned. I still want them to.
Yeah.
You know, hell, unless they know him a lot more than we do, they do.
Sure. They've, you know, seen his knee.
Right.
They've actually kind of, you know, yes,
been in the, you know,
right,
recovery room.
Sure.
But if everything is okay, yeah, I still want them to sign him long term, but I do have my trepidations with his availability and his ability to play 70 plus games over the next 5 years.
That's why it's kind of a win-win in the sense that the Celtics cannot offer him, you know, $180 million this offseason, but they probably wouldn't want to. Like, they would probably want to see him play. So it's not like a slap in the face. Like, if a player was eligible for this huge contract and you say, then we want to see you to, you know, prove it first. Well, they literally can't do that. And so Kyrie Irving's not going to sign anything. So he's going to have to go out there and play this season. And if he plays as well as he did last year and just stays healthy, then you're right. They're definitely going to give him the contract. Or at least offer him the contract.
They'll offer him the contract, but I still think there would be trepidation based on his history.
Oh, yeah.
What's a greater risk? 1 year with Kyrie and his injury history, or 1 year with Kawhi Leonard and what happened to him last year?
I think 1 year with Kawhi Leonard is a bigger risk because it seems like it's not just injury. It seems like it's what's going on upstairs as well. Like, yeah, but I don't know where he's going. I don't know, where does he want to go? And if he already bagged out of a year.
It's obvious where he wants to go.
LA, right? Okay, so he wants to go to LA, so he doesn't want to go to Boston. And if he's going to bag out of a year in San Antonio, that's different than saying, hey, I play for Sacramento and I want to make sure I'm healthy my free agency year, or I want to make sure I get a trade. Still selfish, but you can at least understand it. But he's on a really good team. He's won a title for that team. It's the best coach in the league, all of this stuff, and he can't make it work there. So there's no guarantee you can make it work here.
We talk about Brady having issues. I know he loves Belichick.
But
Belichick,
did he sit out because of those issues?
No.
Right.
No, but maybe at some point in time, Kawhi Leonard says, okay, I'm done with Popovich, and maybe he was ticked off that Tony Parker and some of his teammates basically called him out, and he feels like I can't play with them again.
Yeah.
Although, it's funny, and I had forgotten about this, Glenn had brought up an article from a few months ago when Leonard came out and said, no, I want to be in San Antonio for a long time, or want to finish my career or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that's lying.
He's lying. Also the Supermax, though. I think you want to keep that.
But I think he's lying about that.
Yeah, but that's also like the Spurs, you know, the stories that say they want to keep Kawhi Leonard. I think that's only for trade value. Like, you can't say, we're definitely getting rid of this guy.
If I'm San Antonio, I do want to trade him. I'm not going anywhere.
I know you do want to trade him, but you're not going to say, hey, he won't be here.
Right.
Like, you have to play it up that maybe he'll be there. All right, we have more from Kyrie Irving on with Bill Simmons, including his thoughts on playing with LeBron James. Of course, that was really the reason why he left Cleveland to begin with. And there's a lot more in there as well. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI. Greg Dickerson is in today. You can join us at 617-779-7937. We started with Tom Brady on with Oprah. We'll get back to that a little bit later on. Kyrie Irving was on with Bill Simmons. Both lengthy interviews, I would say. Both were asked a lot of questions.
Nothing short with Bill Simmons.
No.
There's no such thing as articles.
You're right. Yeah. So Kyrie Irving was on for a while. We played you some of his answers before about his injury, about where he wanted to go last year. And again, we're still trying to figure out, is this guy, if he's healthy and they offer him a long-term deal next year, how good do you feel about him taking it? And maybe
I think there are questions on both sides.
Sure.
You know, do you think he will take it, number one, and not go to, you know, New York or wherever? And on the other side, do you trust him to stay healthy and be worth $30 million over the next 5 years?
Yes, yeah, it's tough. But one of the reasons why I love Kyrie Irving is because he is the first guy that kind of went against LeBron James. Like, everybody in the NBA loves LeBron. Maybe not Draymond Green, but everybody loves him. Like, all of his teammates love him.
I'm sure Paul Pierce loved him back in the time.
Yeah, but not in the league anymore now. It seems like now, especially the younger guys than LeBron. I think the guys older than.
Oh, because they all looked up to him because they're all in middle school in 2007.
But Kyrie Irving, same thing. He's, what, 7 years younger than LeBron? And he doesn't look up to LeBron. In fact, he was annoyed by LeBron. Like, he
played with him.
He played with him. But I've always maintained that star players have to give up a little bit more playing with LeBron, because if you're a star player and you want the credit, which so many of them do, you're not going to get it playing with LeBron.
Which is weird, because there are very few, or have been very few, star players who are more selfless than LeBron James.
Yeah, you're right.
On the court.
The way he plays, it shouldn't be that way. Right. But the attention that he gets pre and post game, during the game, everything is LeBron. LeBron does everything, even though he played with Dwayne Wade, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. Chris Bosh might be a Hall of Famer. Irving and Love were both great. Irving had a 40-plus point game in the finals, hit the biggest shot in the franchise history, but is a footnote. Like, that was LeBron winning a title.
Isn't it that way with every superstar? I'm sure that Scottie Pippen had a triple-double in a finals game at some point in time, and everybody wanted to talk to Michael first.
But my point is, if you're a star player, how many are comfortable being Scottie Pippen?
Right.
Right? Like Scottie, I guess, was. Although
I can make a ton of money and win championships. Okay, I'm fine with it. I don't know why you wouldn't be.
And so one of the topics that obviously came up was, you know, what were the challenges of playing with LeBron James?
So, did you feel like your skills had become underrated just because you're playing with LeBron, who's one of the three greatest players of all time, that some people kind of took it for granted a little bit, some of the stuff you were great at?
Not necessarily. I think that... you know, the authentic fans of basketball understood, you know, what I brought to the game. I think that, you know, playing with other great players of you know, and Katie said it the other day, of how to stand out within that, you know, and just make sure that you're confident and you're working on your game and you're showcasing it. You know, and inevitably you're playing with a great player like Bron. It's going to be a lot, you know, and I feel like that right there is a testament of greatness of how you adapt to those situations, you know, instead of kind of, you know, willing away from the challenge of figuring it out and adapting and, you know, like, why run away from it? So I went full force and just, like, took it by the head. And, you know, there at times it was really, really tough. Really tough. But, I mean...
What was tough about it? Just not having the ball all the time, or just the spotlight that he brings?
No, I would say, like, you're being tested on the biggest stage in front of everyone, like... All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I mean, like, there was not a time where it was like the eyes wasn't on our team, on Bron, wasn't on me, wasn't on K-Love, like our team. It just, our organization, it was just like, I went from being in Cleveland to, you know, having kind of, you know, half the fans show up to now Bron comes back now. Every night is packed.
Yeah.
Every road game is like a, you know, somewhat of a home game for us. You know, you think about the media attention that comes with all of that, and just the elevated pressure of like, okay, now it's championship or you fail. And, you know, then you got to figure out, how do you fit in within this system?
Like,
basketball is a systemic game. So how do you build that strategy, and how do you fit in with that? And it was tough.
I don't know if I love that answer.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know about that one, Kyrie.
It's sort of like...
all of a sudden the games mattered. Right. Like, what?
We had to play Portland on a Tuesday, and everybody was there, and it was an important game, and everybody was watching us, and we're on national TV. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. So did he like playing in front of half-empty crowds?
It's almost the way it sounded like, hey, it was much more relaxing and easygoing when we were going, you know, 20 and 60.
So I'm going to sort of... again, this is probably unfair, and it's because I like Kyrie Irving, but do you think it's just easier for him to say that? Do you think he thinks that's a better answer than LeBron would pat me on the head and say, nice job, kid, and when we won, it was because of LeBron, and when we lost, it was because of the team? Because that's what I feel like is the actual answer.
Probably, but, I mean, you can still give a non-answer to that question and have it not sound as bad as that answer sounds.
Oh, that was not great. That does not sound super competitive.
I mean, to me...
Because with the Celtics, you're going to be playing primetime games all the time. You're on an NBA contender.
No, but in the end, I think the issue is simply, I want to be the guy. I want to be the number one guy. Yeah. I want the ball in my hands when the game is on the line. I want the focus on myself, which I also don't totally love because... You know, as he says, basketball's a team game.
Yeah,
played
but
within
you gotta,
a system.
You know, the great players.
I want him to win a game.
Yeah.
I want him to
take the shot
at the end.
Would he be against Kawhi Leonard coming here? Because Kawhi Leonard, if he's healthy, Leonard's the guy from 2 years ago, he's better than Irving.
I would say no, because I think if there is such a thing as a system superstar,
it's probably
Kawhi Leonard.
Really?
Because he's very, he's kind
of. But he's great. He'd be great anywhere.
Yeah, but that's, but no, no, when I say a system superstar.
It sounds like you're a system quarterback.
I don't mean it that way. I mean, he can play within any system. And he kind of almost blends in. I mean, when you watch
Kawhi Leonard. Well, that's a system player then. Well, I'm not saying he can play in any system.
Then I'm not.
He's just a great player.
I'm not saying it the right way. He blends in wherever he goes. He doesn't. Kawhi Leonard doesn't necessarily stand out. Kevin Durant stands out.
Yes.
Steph Curry stands out. LeBron stands out. Leonard, you know, you'll watch him and you'll say, geez, he had 32 and 12 and played lockdown defense. And, you know, you'll
he
just
does
say
not
he's
seem
one,
like
one of
the
other
first
guys.
Guy.
Yeah.
That's why, again, this year was so strange with him.
Right.
Like, you don't know what was the
he
end
never
game here.
And the thing about him is he never liked the attention. No. He never wanted the attention. That was his big whole thing.
Like, do you know what
Kawhi
Leonard's voice sounds like? Because I don't. I don't think most
if
of us
I
do.
If I heard his voice right now, I wouldn't be able to tell you it was him. No.
Right. That's what, so, I mean,
I've heard it before, but
yeah,
I couldn't
pick
it out.
You've heard the post-game press conferences, and you've seen some of the sideline interviews, but he's not, for a guy as good as he is, he's not in a movie like Uncle Drew. No. He's not, you know, on every single commercial like LeBron and Curry and Durant and those guys. So,
I mean, part of that has to do with, you know, what happens in San Antonio. And who knows? You know what, Keith? Maybe that's what he wants. Maybe in the end, he's tired of that, or he really wants that, and he just dealt with not having it in San Antonio and played along with the game that the Spurs play, and now he says, no, I want to be in L.A. I want to be the alpha dog.
Want to be the man. Although, if you go and team up with LeBron, then you're still not the alpha dog.
No, but you're a lot closer to the alpha dog than you were in San Antonio.
No, that's probably true. Now, another topic of conversation that came up on the Bill Simmons podcast with Kyrie Irving was losing Gordon Hayward 5 minutes into the season.
Hey, you lose Hayward in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and that was tough. That was tough.
Yeah, you were affected even the next game. It took you like a week to shake that off, it seemed like.
Yeah, I just was pissed. I was pissed. I was pissed for our team and more or less for Gordon. You know what I mean? It was like he was just now starting to get a rhythm in preseason. Yeah. And then, you know, it was just tough. It was tough. And then I'm the one that threw the pass. So I was just like, you know, for the alley-oop, and I was like, I was holding on to that for a while. I was just like, damn, bro. Like, because at the time, I'll take responsibility. Like, I'll take part of the responsibility, but he wasn't really open. I saw D-Wade over there, and then he came down, like, wrong, and I'm just like, like.
I thought he got nudged that knocked him off balance, too.
I just was like, man. And then I'm still sick about it. It just was like, man, because we had a really good training camp, a really good training camp. And the preseason games weren't even going to be the factor determining how great we're going to be. I knew it from the first day.
Yeah.
Like, because the challenge of forming this team wasn't really hitting us.
That's the clearest audio a podcast sounds like, Rossi, I've ever heard in my life.
It's kind of like a Michael Kay type podcast.
Well, we know
audio.
They're
that's
not
a high rating.
Yeah, correct. That is really smooth. Yeah. We got to figure out what they use for equipment. Hashtag dork does not sound like that.
Also have someone on the phone.
No, I know, but we got to figure that out. We got to get to the bottom of that. That's our mission for today.
I'm kind of guessing the budget behind the Dork podcast.
Less than.
Not quite
less
as
than
much as
the Bill Simmons.
Yeah, for Bill Simmons. Right.
Probably true.
I don't know, how long are your typical podcasts?
1 hour every week.
Oh, they are an hour.
Yeah,
okay.
An hour. Yeah. Right. Thanks for listening, Greg. But
typical.
Talking about Gordon Hayward, he was the one that threw the pass, and we dissected that.
You remember
crazy.
That? You probably took phone calls back then. Because I heard it on the radio. People
did Crowder push him?
Right.
Like, there's so many things. Like, looking at
Kyrie got him hurt on purpose.
But Kyrie's right, though. He wasn't really open. And it was such a freak play, though. It was disgusting. I could still remember it vividly watching that play happen. And it was as gross of a sports injury as you will ever see. And obviously, you know, the hope is he will be good to go when the season rolls around. In fact, because the injury happened so long ago, he's probably going to be more healthy and healthier sooner than even Kyrie Irving is. You know,
feel better about him to start the season than you do with Kyrie Irving.
What about the Gordon Hayward trade rumors? Do you think that there's any truth
you
to
can't,
that?
You
I don't.
Can't.
I agree.
You cannot.
I don't think it happens.
You cannot trade Gordon Hayward for
Kawhi Leonard
at least one,
in this case,
no, for one
else.
Reason and one reason only. And I know he's Trader Danny, and he'll do whatever, and he'll trade his mother. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He'll trade his mother, but not Gordon Hayward. Because it looks so bad on Danny Ainge and on the organization. If you sign this guy, you get him to make a gut-wrenching decision to leave Utah, to not go to Miami, to come to Boston, then have that gruesome injury 5 minutes into the game. What the hell are other players around the league going to think about you and your organization if you trade Gordon Hayward? You cannot trade him.
I agree. And so Tomasi wrote an article on WEEI.com with the same idea. And it's, you know, you want to be, you know, aggressive. You always want to improve your team. You want your guys to know that you're going to improve your team. But there also is, I think, a limit to that, because you want some of the players to feel like they are going to be a part of, you know, the process, to steal a phrase from Philly. Like Jason Tatum, you're going to be here. And not that there should be guys that go, I'm untradeable. Like, you shouldn't necessarily have that attitude either. But if you're building towards something, just because Kawhi Leonard becomes available, like, do you have to be in on that? Like, do you have to make that move?
You got
to
kick the tires.
You have to kick the tires, sure. But then when it comes down to, all right, well, you know, we want Hayward, or, you know, we want, you know, Irving, or if you're taking away big pieces from this team, I don't know. Like, nobody's going to really want to stay. Like,
well, let's say you trade. Let's play the game. Say you come to an agreement with the San Antonio Spurs and you trade Gordon Hayward for Kawhi Leonard. That's part of the package and part of the deal.
I think Kyrie Irving leaves.
Well, forget about Kyrie.
I was going to say, but if you
you said Kyrie. How about Kawhi? What is Kawhi?
Oh, he may also leave.
What is Kawhi Leonard thinking? Or, he's saying, wait a minute, they just traded for this guy, blew out his ankle a year ago, and now they're dishing him out of here? I ain't signing here next year. Hell no.
Kyrie Irving wanted to play with Gordon Hayward in Cleveland. Before LeBron said, I'm coming back, I'm coming home, and cue the music, he was trying to recruit Gordon Hayward to Cleveland. So he's wanted to play with him for a long time. They got to do it for 5 minutes this year. And so I think part of the motivation of you know, both these guys coming back is playing together. And if before the season starts, Hayward is gone, even if it's for somebody as good as Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving's going to be looking at that saying, wow, you're really committed to this group. Right. Like, you're gone. I bet he's gone. So that's just another reason not to do that.
I think the only guy that you would consider, I mean, you consider a number of guys. Obviously, Brown considered in a trade. But I think the only feasible real trade piece on this team for, you know, when you talk about LeBron, when you talk about Kawhi Leonard, is Kyrie Irving. He's the only one.
Because of the contract and because of the injuries.
Right.
The
and
injuries,
you're not sure he's going to sign here.
Right. And so it's 1 year of one versus 1 year of the other. I do feel better about re-signing Irving than I do Leonard, but again,
only because he's been here for a year. Yeah. I feel that way.
Yeah, and, you know, the L.A. stuff is out there with Leonard, and
But let's play this.
Yeah, the New York stuff with Kyrie.
With Kyrie, yeah. But next year, let's say Leonard comes here. What happens in L.A.? Are they going to have enough room? Are they going to, they going to have to jump through hoops next summer to potentially sign Kawhi Leonard?
Well, and one thing I was surprised by was when we first, on Friday, were kicking around the idea of Kawhi Leonard to the Celtics, I assumed Irving or Hayward would have to be involved because of money. But there are ways, and it's convoluted.
It's so hard.
It's insane. I still don't get it. But
you can't have that. You can't have what, five?
Yeah, it would be Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris, Yabusele, and like Nader.
But I'm saying you can have four max contracts.
So
guys,
you have 2 30s and 2 20s.
Right. No.
Okay, I don't think so either. But some of the scenarios,
you're gonna bring back Eddie House and Posey and Kendrick Perkins,
PJ Brown at the halfway point. Yes, get all those guys in there. Let's go to Tom in the car. He joins us next here on Sports Radio WEEI. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, in the Tom Brady interview with Oprah, he says that I love him. Then he says immediately, I loved him, past tense.
Oh, I love it.
Belichick.
So what are you suggesting here, Tom? The love is over?
That changes the dynamic of the conversation completely. If it's past tense that he used to love him but doesn't love him.
Well, Tom, let me stop you right there. We're going to play the cut because I didn't hear that the first time around. You could be right. I don't have the best hearing. We know Greg doesn't either. Yeah, exactly. So let's hear that one more time.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
No, I mean, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't hear it, Tom. It sounds like present tense. He bailed.
Sounds like I love him. He realized. Yeah,
oh,
I was
no.
Wrong.
That was the whole purpose of my call.
Wrong. Son
in the
of a
screening
gun.
Process, he said that like after the interview. Maybe you saw this on the Facebook watch. He said loved afterwards. He says loves, and then afterwards later, he said loved.
At the end of the interview, after he did the awkward hand-holding across the table
exactly
with Oprah?
Yes.
He said, I loved Belichick then?
Just out of nowhere?
No, I didn't hear that. Did you?
No, I did not hear that. Did not see that.
Now, you can debate, you know, why.
That's relationships.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Thank you, Will Price.
That's relationships. Yes, it is. That's how I should answer everything now. No, it's relationships. Like, did you take the trash out today? Well, it's relationships.
No, you just.
I didn't.
No. You just say, trash out. Did I take the trash out? You just repeat whatever was said to you.
Did you? Well,
did you? Did you call the bank? Did I call the bank?
Did I call the bank? Well, it's relationships. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't always get what you want exactly. In that regard.
That's relationships.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I don't mind Tom the caller, not Tom Brady, trying to really pick that thing apart. That's what we've been doing. That's how we spent most of the first hour.
Kind of like it.
I'm disappointed
that it didn't work out.
Throw him this way. Yeah, that one was debunked pretty quickly, though. That one did not really have much of a life. I do think it's funny. I mean, he pauses again. He goes, no. And then he says, oh, I love him. Like, she just asked, is there something going on? And he immediately goes to...
It was almost like it caught him by surprise. Like,
yeah, he never saw that question coming.
No, yeah.
He's like, Oprah.
Damn it, Jim.
We rehearsed that.
You didn't tell me about this, Jim.
Scratchy was good for about five questions in there, I would say.
Five or six. Can I go back to,
sure,
to, whatever you want to something? We talked about Brady in the interview with Peter King last, whenever it was, March, April, May, and then the dichotomy between the two interviews. What do you think happened? What happened that seemingly, at least on the outside, radically changed Tom Brady in the last year? From, you know, I'm all in, 45, I'm doing it all, to OTAs? You know, I don't think so.
I think family is a big part of it.
Yeah, but the family was there a year ago. If anything.
No, I know, but I think they just keep pushing it. And it's like Giselle saying, well, hey, I would like to go do something and I'm home with the kids. I'd like, you know, I have these other things I'm turning down. You want to spend more time with the kids? I think maybe it was the Deflategate. Maybe it was seeing Belichick say, hey, ask the quarterback about it.
But you wouldn't that have affected him last year, though? Because happened then at that point in time. And the whole thing with the kids, and I want to be careful with this.
Yeah.
And I tried to be careful with it when I said it over the weekend as well. I truly believe that, yes, he wants to spend as much time with his kids, drive in here, go to games, do this, have dinner, whole nine yards. But as a professional athlete, isn't he set up in almost the most perfect situation? We're not talking about a baseball player.
Yeah, those guys
that's
have a tough.
It's on the road
yeah.
half the time, and when they play home games,
I know it's a
they're
good
at the
point,
park
Greg.
At 2 o'clock, and they yeah. don't get home till midnight.
It's a good point. It is a bit overstated, I think. But Giselle, as far as like him, how much time he actually
yeah,
has?
His
with
family
them, that
lives
is
here.
Yeah,
lives
no, that's
25
true.
Minutes from the stadium.
That's true. 617-779-7937. Tom Brady, also Kyrie Irving, both on the table. Also, don't know if you saw this. The U.S. Open happened over the weekend.
No.
People were losing their minds, though.
Serena Williams?
Serena Williams was great.
Yeah.
No, golf. Golf.
Oh,
one
golf.
Of the four golf
oh, no,
majors.
No, I wasn't aware
people
of this.
People are losing their minds. They're mad at the course. They're mad at Phil Mickelson.
What?
For something they did. They think Phil Mickelson needs to apologize. People are upset about golf.
Typical golf elite.
Yeah. We'll talk about that next. Dale O'Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Dale is off. Greg Dickerson is in. We'll get to people losing their minds about the U.S. Open here in a moment, but let's get to your phone call. 617-779-7937. Tom Brady was on with Oprah. Kyrie Irving was on with Bill Simmons. Let's go to... Uh-oh. Did I screw this up? No, I didn't. Let's go to Joe in Dorchester. What's going on, Joe?
How you doing, guys? Thank you for taking my phone call.
No problem.
Hey, Joe.
What about a signing trade deal with Marcus Smart, sending him to the Spurs after we signed him for 3 years, say $36 million?
You think the Spurs would take Marcus Smart for Kawhi Leonard?
You're talking as part of a package.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Oh,
written,
sure.
I saw that written somewhere.
Yeah, that's possible. I think they would want him. Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, you throw in that Memphis pick.
So is that something, Joe, you would do? Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Memphis pick, and whatever the other filler is, you would do that for 1 year of Kawhi Leonard?
That's too much.
Definitely, because if we win a championship, he might want to stay. You got to take that risk.
But if you don't win the championship, he may want to go.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Joe, I'm not even the biggest Jaylen Brown fan, but having him on the rookie deal and even the Sacramento pick, which it could end up being great. I'd could end up being great.
I know everybody gets all googly about picks.
Yeah.
Picks.
Oh,
gotta keep that. Remember, yeah. gotta keep the. Gotta
oh,
keep
Brooklyn
the,
pick. Gotta, oh, gotta get that Brooklyn pick.
Can't trade that Brooklyn pick. No, we gotta keep it.
Eighth
don't
pick
ever trade him
in a draft on Thursday night, which people are saying it's getting worse and worse by the day. Have you heard about like the draft? Like every day, people are like, well, a couple good players at the top, but nah. Like I don't think the eighth pick is even going to be really anything special this year.
To me, hey, you dangle out Sacramento, you dangle out the Memphis pick. I don't want those anymore. I don't need them.
All right.
I don't. I mean, I need them as a
but where
as a piece
Jaylen
to
Brown?
Get something. I would rather keep Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
To me, I would. You just said he's on that rookie deal. I'm keeping him, and you know, forget the picks. Yeah, they could be real valuable. Sacramento could be the number two pick next year. You could have the number one pick in a few years from Memphis on an awful team, but. I'd rather deal those if I'm going to make a significant deal like a Kawhi Leonard.
The thought of a Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford starting lineup.
Not going to happen.
It's pretty insane.
It's not going to happen.
I don't know. Joe just said you could trade Marcus Smart. No?
No, you need more than that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. What was it? I read it somewhere today.
No, it was literally
Yabusele.
It was Yabusele, Nader. It was Marcus Morris. Jaylen Brown is the main piece. And Terry Rozier. It was like everybody you have.
You don't want.
Yeah. But that doesn't start. And now you don't have a bench. Not that that's the most. You could figure it out. I understand that. But it's basically take everybody on the team that's not a starter
a
and deal them.
Typical sports fan general yeah. manager move.
Yes. Yes,
let's
it is.
Deal all
but,
our dog I mean, crap and trade it for a superstar.
Kevin Garnett. Carmelo Anthony, like these trades have happened in the league where it's like, let's just add up all we can money wise, throw in some picks.
At least with the Kevin Garnett trade.
Yeah, you didn't want to make it, did you?
No, I wanted to make it. No. But I'm at least saying.
No, Jefferson was a player.
Yes.
No, I know. But in this case, Jaylen Brown's a player. Jaylen Brown is more valuable than, I don't know, a couple of the, you know, like what some of the Lakers guys are as valuable.
I guess if you're talking about one of the two picks in Jaylen Brown, then I guess if you're San Antonio, You comb through the other dreck and you say, okay, keep, renounce, let
yeah.
go, that kind
oh, yeah,
of thing.
They would, yeah. they would cut Semi Ojeleye and they would cut a couple other guys and then they would take what's left. One of the comparables would be Paul George. 1 year left on his deal. No guarantee you sign him. You hope he likes it, but there's no guarantee. 1 year.
They got two good players.
They got
two really good players.
Oladipo and Sabonis. Now, at the time, it did not look as good. Oladipo was not an all-star yet.
No.
So in that regard, you know, they didn't get any picks in that deal. They just got two young players. One turned into an all-star immediately. The other's no bum. And could, you know, did the Celtics have something like that? And would that end up being what Kawhi Leonard goes for, even though Leonard is better than Paul George? But there's more questions with Leonard based off of how crazy last year was.
What's the market?
For Kawhi Leonard?
What's the market right now for Kawhi Leonard? How many teams, A, can afford him? And I think there are certainly more teams that
Lakers?
There are certainly a number of teams who can afford them. But how many of those teams who can afford them are willing to take a chance with a guy on the last year of his
Lakers,
deal?
Lakers, Clippers, Celtics can all offer him something, and the Celtics could offer the most
right.
if they wanted to.
Well, the Celtics can offer the most for pretty
anybody.
Much anybody.
Just about
in the
anybody. That's true.
But I'm saying Philadelphia is thrown out there. The Lakers, you mentioned the Clippers. I don't think San Antonio wants to deal him to the Lakers if there was a gun pointed at their head.
They may not, but they would probably get the most in return because they would feel like they could re-sign him. If Kawhi Leonard, though, does go to Philly, does that make them better than Boston next year?
Depends on what other filler is there, but I think it puts him, in the conversation.
I think it puts him right there. Simmons,
puts
Leonard,
right
Embiid. Simmons still can't shoot, and, you know, Embiid is
I think it
as
puts
big
him
of
there.
An injury
it,
risk.
It puts him there.
Yeah. And again, we'll just assume that Leonard's great. I mean, he could have another quad injury and sit out. We don't know. But yeah, if that's the case, then they're pretty good. Let's go to Ryan in the car. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're great. How are you?
Hey, good man. Hey, good. You asked, Dickerson, you asked what has changed between Belichick and Brady, and I think...
No. Hey, Ryan, let me stop you real quickly.
Okay.
The question I asked was, what has changed specifically with Tom Brady?
Just
not
Brady.
Between, not between Brady and Belichick,
over the last
but
year.
Specifically Tom Brady. What's changed with him and his beliefs and his mindset about playing in the last year?
Well, I think some of it has to do with their dynamic, though. By the end of the season, you had Guerrero effectively taken out of the building. Brady has the base of his hand basically ripped in half, to which Bill Belichick says, hey, man, it's not open-heart surgery. yet this guy goes out, throws for 500 in the Super Bowl, and Belichick benches Butler. I think it's a bunch of things that have led this guy to say, hey, you know what? He's not doing his job. I'm not coming to these voluntary practices. I'm going to stick with my guy, get in great shape, and show up to the mandatory stuff, and he'll still win. But I think that's what's going on.
That's about as viable of an argument that I've heard.
Well, I think I don't think it's one thing. You can't point at one thing. But even as simple as, and we've talked about this on the show a bunch, and some people think it's a big deal, some people think it's a little deal. But, you know, Alex Guerrero having field access and plane access, and now he doesn't. Like, is that the end of the world? No, but like, add it to the list.
Ryan adds those things up, and all of a sudden Brady says, all right, do I want to deal with this again? Now it's another thing. What's it going to be in training camp? Right. Then what's it going to be next October, next November? Think about that.
Let's go to Debbie in Rhode Island. What's going on, Debbie?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Ryan hit the nail on the head. Hmm. That's exactly what I've been thinking for months. In fact, I mentioned it to my husband. I said, I listen to EEI every day. They talk about Tom Brady. What's changed? What's changed is probably he's just as human as you and I. I think we tend to forget that. And I think that he said, you know, Malcolm Butler, he worked, you know, his tail off all year and has for forever, as well as most of the other players on the team. And then Bill Belichick, for whatever crazy reason, doesn't play Malcolm Butler. I mean, as fans, I know you guys feel the same way. We never got an explanation. We're all still waiting for that. And Tom Brady is human, and I think it's a combination of the fact that, you know, that happened with Malcolm Butler and Alex Guerrero, and I think everything, and, you know, he's got Giselle yapping
Hey, Debbie, would you blame him if he walked away after next year?
Absolutely not, and I'm probably the biggest Tom Brady fan.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I don't know. Prove it, Debbie. Right. I don't know, but I would say that this was brewing, though, prior to Malcolm Butler.
Oh, sure.
Right, the Wickersham article.
Add it to the list.
I'm with Debbie. Add it to the list. I'm sure it absolutely bothers him. You know, he was commenting on Malcolm Butler's Instagram, talking about what a great player, teammate, and friend that he is, and I'm sure that bugged him. This is a guy that helped win him a Super Bowl, and now you can't even use him in another one. I'm sure
This guy just cost me my sixth Super Bowl?
Yeah.
By doing
that's
this.
He's definitely.
And he won't tell me. And it's funny because typically media fans, we're like, we're never going to find out from Belichick. You get the sense from the players that they have no idea either.
True.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.